Welcome to the IMAX Credit Repair Podcast. I am your host and CEO, along with our associate attorney, Shiva Bhaskar. And today we are going to talk about something that a lot of people lose sleep over are debt collectors.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Shiva Bhaskar. I'm the co-founder and head attorney at Tier 1 Credit. We're a consumer rights law firm.
Cool. So good to be on here, Shiva. So let's kick it off, man. What do people need to know the basics about collection companies and the FDCPA, which is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act?
So Ali, basically the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which again is a mouthful, the FDCPA, is a federal law which regulates the conduct of consumer collection agencies. Now, let's look at each part of what I just said. Consumer, meaning they regulate consumer debts. So if you own a business and the business has debts in its name and something happens regarding those debts, it's typically not covered by the FDCPA. Okay. There's some variations, but unless you personally guaranteed it, it definitely wouldn't be covered. And collection agencies, what that means is the law governs the conduct of third-party companies which either buy or are hired to collect on unpaid debts. So it applies to those companies rather than to your credit card company or your auto lender or your doctor's office, which are considered the original provider or the original creditor. So those are two important distinctions to make. But the FDCPA provides a lot of different protections for consumers, and it creates penalties for collection agencies if they violate those laws and don't listen to those protections. So yeah.
Thank you for that. So basically, you know, what do these collection companies do? Why don't you talk about that? You know, really hurts the consumer. What are their abusive practices as such that we come across?
So there are a lot of different ways that you as a consumer with a collection might be harmed. And some of you listening to this might be going through this right now, so it'll sound familiar. A collection agency, they could constantly contact you, they can call you, they can keep bothering you. And when I say can, this doesn't mean what's legal, but what they do. They could be calling you, bothering you by text message, by phone, by email. They can take you to court, which is not illegal, but obviously really stressful to deal with. They can, if they're trying to locate you, they can contact known associates like a relative or someone else, which could raise the question of, you know, what's going on, and people find out that you're dealing with these issues. If you tell them to stop contacting you, they're supposed to stop, but they might not. If you're represented by an attorney, then, and they fail to, you know, communicate through the attorney and contact you directly, that's a violation. So there's a lot of different ways that they can violate the law. Now, legally, they are allowed to contact you until you tell them not to, or until you specify a certain way to contact you. And yes, they are allowed to take you to court if the debt is valid and it's within the statute of limitations to sue. But there's tons of stuff these companies do to people every day, which is really not allowed and is really unfair. And so the FDCPA has contained dozens of different restrictions on collection agencies. And we see these violated regularly around the country. And if your rights are violated in that way, then you might have grounds to sue the collection agency, obtain compensation from them, and it won't cost you necessarily anything in terms of that because of the attorney's fees. It depends on the case. But the point being, you're entitled to protection if your rights are violated.
Gotcha. And let's go ahead and dig deeper into the FDCPA and the codes as such. And I'm going to do a screen share here. If my computer allows me, bam, entire screen, here we go. Okay, so these are the FDCPA codes, and they're split up into, you know, just a few major sections. So the FDCPA itself is the section A of the FDCPA are the basic definitions. Section B is about contacting third parties. Shiva, you want to sound off on this?
Sure. So contacting third parties means if you have a friend or relative and the collection agency is trying to locate you, they may contact someone who is known to be tied to you. And they are allowed to do that, and they can identify themselves, but they can't really say what they're calling about. And if they're told that the person doesn't know where you are, they cannot continue contacting that person. So they're allowed to contact, but there are restrictions under Part B. And we have seen situations where collection agencies will share, you know, really personal stuff, like how you weren't able to pay your credit card and it ended up with a collector. We've seen things like that shared with third parties on a call, things that you really might not want your mom or your boss or your other friends to know about. And so the FDCPA does protect you in those situations.
Gotcha. And that is section 1692B of the FDCPA. And these are the different subsections of that, right? Contacting third party, failed to identify themselves, failed to state that the collector is confirming, or stated that the consumer owes any debts. So if they call your mom and says, you owe this debt, that's a violation. They can't tell your mom that. All they could say is, we're so-and-so and we're looking for, you know, your son.
Yeah.
That's it. So 1692C, prohibited communication practices. Shiv?
So this is a really interesting one and where we see a lot of violations. Specifically, I'll focus on section CA1 and section CC. Because CA1 says that a collection agency may not contact you in any way that they know or should know is inconvenient to you. So if a collection agency calls you and you say, look, you could contact me, but I only want you to email me. Don't call me, please. And they keep calling you. Well, they violated the law, okay, in a situation like that. Or if you tell them, hey, just text me, or text me, don't call me, or don't email me, but text me, or only write to me by mail. Don't call or text or email. If they communicate with you that way, that's improper. Or if you say, hey, only if you have to reach me, you should only email me between these hours, but they contact you during other hours, that's also improper. And then section CC basically says that if you tell a collection agency that you will not pay a debt, then they have to cease communication with you. That doesn't mean it removes it from your credit report, but they cannot contact you any further except to tell you that they are taking a legal remedy, meaning they're suing you, or number two, to tell you that the other option is to tell you that they're going to cease collection. So they're very restricted what they can do. And I really see consumers say, hey, this is messed up. Like, money's tight. I can't pay you. And these guys keep bothering them. And it's stressful. But luckily, you do have legal options in that situation.
Gotcha. So thanks for sharing that, Shiv. So having said that, what triggers a violation, right, with sure. the FDCPA? Let's talk about that.
Sure. A lot of different things. You know, if they're contacting you and making threats like, we're going to have you arrested, or we're going to go and post on social media that you owe a debt, things like that, those are false threats, things they don't have authority to do, or that they don't actually intend to do. In that situation, you may have a case against them, or you tell them, I won't pay the debt, and they continue calling you or bothering you or writing to you. Or let's say you dispute the debt. Maybe you call them or you write to them and say, hey, I disagree with you. I don't believe I owe this debt. Okay, this is unfair. They have to go and mark on your credit report that you disputed the debt. Failing to do that is a violation of the law as well. Or let's say when collections initially begin, if you're never notified of your right to dispute the debt and to request proof of the debt, and they just start collecting on it and, you know, calling you without ever sending that, that's also a violation of the law. And one that I see specific as an attorney is where we notify a collection agency that we're representing a client, but they continue probably by accident, but I don't really know that it's by accident. They'll say it is. They continue contacting the client when they know they're represented by counsel. So those are just some of the violations that we end up coming across. And in any of those situations, that's when it makes sense to, you know, reach out to us on this call and let us know, because you might have a case in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things also that remind me if we went over are the cease and desist and notifications. And if a consumer goes ahead and lets the collection company know not to contact them or to contact them a certain way. Like, for instance, I may say to a collection company, I don't want you to call me or contact me in any way. And if they still contact me via email or by phone or by mail, that's a violation of the law. And in order to obviously have a case, I need to be able to document where and when I told them not to contact me. So the best way often is to write to the collection company or send them an email or something that could be used as proof that you've set the boundary that you are asking them not to contact you. And that, you know, and that's one way to get creditors off your back by simply telling them, do not contact me, correct?
Yeah, that is definitely one way. And to Ali's point, anything in writing is great. If you're going to mail them, make sure you send it certified mail. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to mail, if you're going to send a text or an email, that's obviously easier. But if they're not contacting you one of those ways, but they're writing to you, you can write to them. Otherwise, text them back or email them back and say, hey, don't contact me or I'm not going to pay the debt or whatever you want to, or you dispute the debt. And if they don't do what they're supposed to and comply with the law, then you might have action against them.
Yeah. And having said that, just one thing that I do want to stress here is that, yes, you could tell a collection company not to contact you. That is within your rights from the FDCPA, right? That you could tell them, I refuse to pay and I do not contact me. However, there is one exception that they can still contact you if they are going to sue you.
Yes.
So what's very important is that you look up what we call the statute of limitations for the debt. So for instance, if you owe a substantial debt in excess of $2,000 or so, I would say, then you may be at risk of being sued.
Yeah.
So even if you tell the lender not to contact you, yes, they'll stop contacting and collecting you, but they're still within the rights to sue you and serve you as such.
Very important point. Because for example, Ali and I are here in California, though of course we help people in different locations. In California, the state bar does provide that prior to taking legal action, you usually, if you're able to contact someone, you should contact them and let them know you're going to. And this is prior to serving them. So we'll have consumers who said, I refuse to pay. They had written that to a collection agency or someone who bought a debt. But that debt buyer, that collection agency has retained counsel and they've decided to sue. In that situation, the law firm writing a letter or sending an email to the consumer, letting them know that they're going to be suing on the debt, assuming that they are really doing that, that's perfectly legal. And you should not ignore that notice because that could obviously mean other consequences like wage garnishment or your bank account being frozen. So really something to be careful of in that situation.
Yeah. And we also want to tell you, if you're being sued, and, you know, like I said, Shiva said that both of us, you know, we're California based, but in California, the statute of limitations is 4 years. So what that means for you is from the time you fell behind on the debt. So for instance, I go ahead and get service at a hospital back in 2017. Well, from the time that I got the service, the lender has up to 4 years to sue. That's the statute of limitations in California. It's 4 years. So the collection company could sue me for up to 2021, but after that, they lose the right to sue me as such. Likewise, if I have a credit card that I stop paying on in 2022, well, add 4 years to that. That means that they could sue me for up to 2026. So very important to know where you're within the statute of limitations. That's the danger zone. Obviously, nobody's going to sue you for about over $200-$300. Right. But because it costs the creditors and the collection companies sometimes in excess of $1,000 to sue and what have you. But for larger debts, yes, if you're within the statute, you are at risk of being sued. And if somebody does sue you, it is extremely important that you go ahead and respond to that suit. And Shiva, tell us why and how they respond.
Sure. So to Ali's point, if you fail to respond to a lawsuit, then what happens is a default judgment will be entered against you. What is a default judgment? That means default means it automatic, basically. You lost automatically because you didn't respond to the lawsuit. So you want to be sure that you file an answer to the lawsuit. If you can afford to and it's necessary, then retaining an attorney could be a good idea. And in a situation like that, but you certainly don't have to. There are resources out there and all of us to, you know, help you. But you want to make sure you get a response filed. An answer is what we would call it, a response or an answer. within the timeline that's provided, you know, under your state's laws, it's often 21 days, which is 3 weeks. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. You really want to get that answer in as soon as possible, because otherwise you can lose by default. And your answer can be what we call a general denial, where you deny all the allegations. I think of it like a not guilty plea in a criminal case. This is a similar version of it. You can do that. And, you know, that doesn't mean it ends the case, but it gets you in a better position. Be sure that you get a response filed, an answer filed whenever you're sued. Really, really important.
Thank you for that, Shiva. And the repeat offenders are companies like Midland Credit, the Portfolio Recoveries of the world, which we in the industry refer to as junk debt buyers, that they buy thousands and thousands of debts and they walk into court and file hundreds of suits against people all at the same time. We see these suits coming that, you know, sometimes we'll have, you know, two, three people call us saying, you know, in a day saying we got sued by Midland today, all of them.
It's absolutely very widespread. In many counties in the United States, including, I think, some of the largest ones, I want to say Fulton County, which is where Atlanta is located. I believe Los Angeles County at one point, certainly San Bernardino County. The majority of civil cases, okay, so not criminal, but at various points, the majority of civil cases have been debt lawsuits. And most of those debt lawsuits have been from junk debt buyers. Of course, original creditors sue as well, but not as often. So when you look at the scale of how these folks operate, it's mind-blowing. I mean, you know, Ali and I are here in Los Angeles County, the largest county in the United States, and each of these debt buyers files thousands of lawsuits here every month. And it's a massive operation. And if you as a consumer are dealing with this, it's important to know that it's natural to be stressed, but you're not alone. There are resources. The most important thing is don't bury your head in the sand and ignore it. Seek out help, because otherwise you lose automatically and you really don't want that.
Thank you for that, Shiv. We also want to talk about is when is it time to settle the debt? When, you know, when should one be or when is it time to fight as such? Generally, if you have a very large debt that's within the statute of limitations and you've been sued, the first thing is to file an answer. And then from there on, it may so be that you may end up needing to settle the debt because defense of that could take a few thousand dollars, right? And sometimes the debts, you know, if you have a debt that's, you know, $3,000 or $4,000, and, you know, it may be not as costly to be able to defend that case rather than to settle as such. And Shiv, let's just talk about like what, you know, just going back now, we talked about where a client could be sued. Where could, you know, a client, you know, turn the, you know, get on the offensive with a collection company as such, right? Is there, you know, could you talk about what is a reasonable number of times a collection company can call somebody and within what time frames?
Sure. So it shouldn't be more 4, 8 a.m. or after 9 p.m. is not permissible. Shouldn't be more than 7 times within 7 days. That's not necessarily as per the FDCPA, but as for the CFPB, the agency that regulates the collection agencies. And the other thing where people are often able to sue is where you tell them, hey, I'm not going to pay this debt. They are texting you and you say, no, I won't pay. Or you text them and say, I'm disputing the debt, and they don't mark it that way. Those are two big ones. Or where people say, hey, you could contact me, but just email me only. And they keep calling you or they keep writing to you by mail. I would say those are a few of the biggest ones, along with being abusive and making threats of things, you know, threatening to harm your character or threatening things they won't do, like get you arrested or that they're going to sue you if they don't sue. In any of those situations, you can connect with us and we can point you in the right direction as far as moving forward on legal action. And ultimately, that legal action can result in this debt potentially being wiped out, meaning whether that means sent back to the original creditor or in some cases with the junk debt buyers, you may not owe that debt anymore. And, you know, really ends the harassment and gets this off your back. Sometimes that's the only way you can deal with these folks because you've tried everything. They're not listening. They're not obeying the law. You have to escalate. You know, you've given them a chance. And if they don't listen, then court should be your next step.
Well, thank you for that, Shiva. And on that note, let's wrap up. And I want to thank everybody for being on this podcast. You know, dealing with collection companies could be extremely stressful. Here at IMAX Credit, we're here for you to support you through this process, get debts removed, see what violations you have. So please reach out to us. And it was a And what we want to also stress here is that if you're being sued, do not take that lightly. Reach out for help ASAP or find an attorney, find a debt defense attorney that could put in a response for that. Or, you know, here at IMAX, myself or Shiva could find one for you as well, too. Either way, hope this was helpful information. See you on our next podcast.